practice and practice till your lips are numb and your cheeks bulge out and you're tired of practice. It doesn't come easy.
Check his mic.
Just the mic. There's a lot of ears involved in that. This is on. This is on. This is not. Blue 22. Hubs.
Now I hear.
I think we got it.
Now don't turn it up.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit. Are we on now?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I needed it. But the Lord's been good to us. We would revival last week in Dublin Mills, Pennsylvania, and we're thankful for that opportunity. And then we had a couple hours yesterday to get packed and come up here. And so we're thankful for the Lord's strength he's given us, for the help he's given us. And I promise you it's going to be probably as easy this morning as it's going to be all week. But I want to bring the thought the Lord's given us. And if you would turn to 1 Kings, we'll start there. Bring a thought. I have a couple of volunteers going to help me just use a quick illustration. Nothing you know, ecstatic, but just something simple. We can hopefully grasp the scripture, understand the scriptures here. 1 Kings chapter number 17. And once you found your place there, you can mark your place in the book of James in chapter number 5. And we're going to just jog back and forth quickly. And I just want to read the passage here in 1 Kings chapter number 17, dealing with, of course, Elijah the Tishbite. And a great prophet of the Lord, Elijah was. And we thank the Lord for not only his prophecy, but thank the Lord allowing us to read of him, learn of him, and learn from him. And would be unto God we had some Elijahs today that could touch heaven. And he says in verse number 1, 1 Kings 17, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Verse number 1, the Bible said that Elijah, who was describes who he is, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Elijah said it's not going to do, it's not going to rain, because I said it's not going to. Now, if you said that today, people would accuse you of being arrogant, cocky, foolish, having a misunderstanding of the things of God. But Elijah, as a prophet of God, said, according to my word, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. James chapter number 4. And, or James chapter number 5, rather. Verse number 17 said this. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. So Elijah, when he spake, when he said, by my word, he had already prayed. It wasn't a matter of him just speaking and it happened, but the Bible said he not only prayed, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Elias here, a man subject to like passions as we are. He had subject to himself, in himself, he had passions just like you and I have. He was emotional at times. He would have the same passions you and I have. And when I say passions, I don't mean he loved to play football and he loved to gamble on sports and he loved going down to the casino. No, not those type of passions, the very inward passions of the person. The very emotions, I believe, that God has given us tie into those passions. Not letting them control him, but rather those passions that he had being a part of who he was. We all have anger. You can use it righteously. You can use it unrighteously. We all have sorrow. You can let it overthrow you, or you can use it for the glory of God. We all like to laugh. I'd rather laugh pretty much than anything else, but it's good to go to the house of mourning at times. Why? Because when we laugh, we don't take things to heart. And there's times we need to laugh. Some of you need to laugh more than you laugh. Some of you can't laugh. Some it's hard to laugh. There's hurts in life that make it difficult to smile. But Elias is a man of like passions. He's subject to like passions such as we. But the Bible said this, and this is what I'm going to preach on this morning with the Lord's help. And he prayed. When he prayed earnestly, it made the difference. I have two volunteers. I just want to point out something quickly, and then we'll move on. If I get my two volunteers to come. See, you and Brother Hayden are going to stand over here. I just want to do a quick comparison, and I wasn't trying to find two men that look similar. I doubt that at any time in their lives somebody would say, you know, are you twins? And Brother Hayden, I'm sorry, but they probably wouldn't say, is this your son?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to insult you on that.
He has hair.
He does. Now, I just a couple of things, just quickly, okay? One, and I just have to say this, but they both probably eat about the same amount of calories in a day. 1,800 to 2,000 calories. That's the average person. The difference... Okay, Zane may eat 1,800 calories, okay? The difference is Zane works it off. He burns it off. He has the ability of youth to burn it off. Zane, can I ask you this? Do you still get mad sometimes? It's okay to be honest. Do you get angry? Brother Hayden, I hate to ask you this publicly. Do you still get angry?
Oh, yeah.
When you're not when you're not driving, do you get angry?
Well, I'm driving.
Zane, do you still get sad sometimes? Yeah. Brother Hayden, do you still get sad?
Yes.
There's things that impact us, things that... You still laugh, Zane? But the hang, you've been pastoring a lot of years. Yeah. You still know how to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I thank the Lord for that. Yet, each of them has the same like passions that we do. It doesn't matter the differences. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the physical characteristics. I do wish Brother Hayne had the shirt, I'll be honest. It would have helped the illustration. I wish you hadn't had the shirt. It would have helped the illustration. And they each have emotion. They each have response to things that touch the very fiber of their heart. Zane, I'll just say, you don't have to be too personal, but whatever you're comfortable in front of people, what's something you really, really enjoy in your life?
Trees.
Trees. And I want to help. He's not a tree hugger. He's a tree climber. Okay, that's the difference. Brother Hayden, do you enjoy climbing trees? That's it.
I gave that up.
Yes, sir. At 240 pounds, I quit. That's when I stopped. I said, I'm not on ladders, trees, I'm finished. Amen. My windows for 2 years in the upstairs need painted, and I look at the ladder and I start crying. Brother Hayden, what's something in your life that you really enjoy?
I enjoy eating.
Something we wouldn't guess.
I enjoy working.
Yes, sir.
Working. I mean, that is my hobby.
I
have no other. I don't golf. I don't do any of that kind of thing, but I like to work.
Zane, let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy working? You do like to work? Good. There's a common ground. Thank you, volunteers. I'm going to use this for a point, but I thank you. Two different people, Two different walks of life. I mean, the similarities is one, they like to work. Now, parents, was he telling the truth? Does he like to work?
Yes.
He does. That's a blessing. That's a real blessing. Give him a shovel, he'll shovel. All right. Zane, next summer you're going to come live with the McVeighs for 3 months, okay? Two different people, completely. And two different walks of life. Very few things in common. There's one bond, it's that the Lord brought them to this place. Their lives crossed each other, and it would be something that I would say, and this isn't a slight, but I would say in the long term, those paths cross and will probably impact this young man more than it will Brother Hain, but there's certainly a great impact on his life as well.
Sure.
You and I that are here this morning, we fall into that same category. We are people of like passions. Sometimes we weep together. Sometimes we laugh together. I often don't try not to share angry because you don't have to keep company with an angry man. But there's things that, now Brother Vernon's my sounding board for anger. Amen. He'll call me up sometimes. He'll say, "You mad yet?" And I'll say, "No, not yet, but I'm probably about to be." And he'll run something by me. And yet we, from different walks of life and different backgrounds, have that one thing in common. We have these like passions. And the Bible said Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, meaning subject to them, he was under those passions. He was submitted to those passions as part of who we are. But at the same time, there's things in that that we have to resist. Some of those like passions are our love of sleep. Some of those like passions are our love of ease, our love of comfort. I don't know about you, that's one of my great passions. I like to be comfortable. I like the air, and some of you, we're all different. I like the air at about 66, whether it's hot or cold. And I like moving air. I like the sun to be shiny, but not too brightly. I don't like it too warm out, too cold. No insects around. You know, everything's clean. A big cushion about this thick to sit on the back porch. And my wife to come out and bring me fresh fruit on sticks and barbecue on sticks and feed me. She is not a woman of like passions such as I, however. we enjoy these things. We're subject to these things. These are things that greatly impact us. But I don't want to get hung up in the emotion. I don't want to get hung up in the motives behind it. But I do want to get hung up in this. Elias prayed. And he prayed earnestly. A man just like, you know, people say this, well, he was a prophet of God, but he was subject to the same passions we were.
Yeah.
He's subject to the same effects in life that you and I are affected by. He, I believe, now listen, I'm sure he was not at ease. They had him a nice little place for him to stay much of his time, and he was a prophet, and he could go, and he had at least a table, a lamp, and a bed, and he could be comfortable. And when the meal ran out, he prayed, and God provided meal. God took care of his needs, but he wasn't looking to be at ease. Ahab hated him. The people hated Elias. They despised him at times because of the message that he brought. No doubt, and you can disagree if you want, I'm not trying to read into anything, but no doubt, that's not an easy thing for any man. When Jezebel sought to kill him, you would think this great man of God who prayed and sought God and God heard from him and God closed up the heavens when he prayed, you would think when Jezebel sought his life that he'd be walking through town, flying a banner, shouting the victory, singing victory in Jesus. But no, we find him, if you will, for better use, I hope I'm not showing any disrespect at all, we find him rather sulking under a bush because Jezebel is seeking his life. Why? Because he was a man like you and I. He had the same makeup that you and I have. But one thing that he knew, and one thing that made him, I believe, a great man of God, and he was a great man of God, was that when he prayed earnestly. He prayed and God shut up the heavens. Not just the rain, but the dew didn't touch the earth. And that's power in prayer. And he said, it'll shut up at my word. It will not rain. I have known men who were known as prayer warriors. And when I say prayer warriors, I literally mean 6 to 8 hours a day in prayer. I said, I have known men. I would not gloat or boast in the fact that I do not pray 6 to 8 hours a day. I would not make light of that for anything. To my shame, I don't feel in my life that 6 to 8 hours a day is something I can accomplish. But I know this, the more I pray, the longer I find myself in prayer, and I realize that if we took time to pray, we could find sometimes 6 hours a day to pray. If we prayed at all.
That's right.
But Elijah prayed. Elijah sought God. And in this, I want you to look at three different things, and I promise it will not be long this morning. I can't promise the rest of the week. He said this, it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So when he prayed, heaven shut up. When he prayed again, God answered, and it rained upon the earth brought forth her fruit. The verse before our text in verse number 16 points right to Elias, and it simply says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is an effect in prayer. I believe the effect here is not just in that we pray. And bear with me on this. I don't want to linger here too long, but we may if need be. It's not in how long we pray. It's not in the shortness of our prayer. It's not in the fact of the words that we pray. It's in literally in the quality of the prayer that we pray. When I say quality, I don't mean that it's beautiful, it's ornate, it's wonderful to hear, it's pleasant to the ears, but it's in the fact that the idea that prayer is the method of which we can touch heaven, and that communication between us and God is open and clear and concise and understandable, and we actually ask God what we're in need of. You see, I believe a lot of people pray, and forgive me, I go to quite a few churches in the year. I hear a lot of prayer. I've heard fluff. It doesn't bother me. It may bother the Lord. It doesn't bother me. Thou knowest the might and the power of thy great, wonderful wisdom. Well, there's nothing wrong with a prayer like that. But sometimes I just question, is there anything more than that? What are we praying for? What are we asking God for? I've heard men that have prayed what I would call very dignified prayers, but in their prayer, they besought God. They were seeking an answer from the Lord. I've heard people pray, and they pray to the congregation. I wonder if God, you know, responds to that. Lord, you know these people in here and how. I was in church one time, and the guy right next to me was praying. He was bellowing in my ear. Oh, you know how wicked these church people are, and how ungodly they are, and would you rain fiery judgment on the church? And I finally just sitting there just staring at him. I'm like, well, wait till I leave at least. I'm not mocking, I'm not making light, I'm not trying to be foolish, but to understand that when we pray, it's what we desire, our petition is brought before the Lord, that when we pray, we can touch heaven with prayer.
Amen.
He said the effectual prayer, having an effect. Can I say swaying God? Would that offend anybody?
No, sir. That's good.
To sway a holy God to move on our behalf? To sway a holy God to benefit us? To sway a holy God to benefit us as a congregation? Much of our prayer life absolutely must be centered around each other. It must focus on us as a congregation. Much of our prayer life needs to be one for another in the house of God, lest we sin and not praying for one another. And it's not this vagary, and bear with me on this, it's not the vagary of, Lord, help all the people. Lord, forgive me of all I've done. The vagary, the simplicity. Sometimes children have better prayers than their parents. At least they're asking for help for Puppy and Kitty, and God knows who Puppy and Kitty are. But the parents will say, help all the family. Well, who? What need?
Yeah, sir.
Lord, help the congregation. What need? Help the pastor. Help the pastor with what? Effectual prayer. Having an effect. Touching God. Lord, you know the needs, but Lord, I present you the need as I see it. And Lord, I pray on my behalf that you groan for me on my behalf, because I don't know what I stand in need of myself. But Lord, touch this person with this need. Travis Clayton said hello. I talked to him yesterday. He said, that's that brother, what's his name up there in New York? I said, yeah, that's him. And he said, brother, tell that church up there to pray for me. I said, I will, Brother Travis. And then he told me a specific need. I can't go into the details because we're in mixed company, but he had a kidney stone that was blocking his tract, 10 millimeter kidney stone. It was blocking his tract. They went in and they dissolved it. They used the ultrasound to destroy it. And then they went in and they began to remove pieces. There were several particulate left. And then they told him, they said, now listen, you need to drink 8 ounces of water every hour for the next 2 days to get your kidneys working again and get it flushed and get everything working right. The only thing they didn't tell him is that on the way in, they nicked his prostate and it swole up. He said, brother, tell those people to pray for me. I said, I will, Brother Travis. Why? Because when we pray, it's a need that we take to God. It's an effective prayer. You say, Lord, help Travis Clayton with his health issue. You can get detailed. Help him with his kidneys. Help him with his prostate. Help his wife. Touch her mind. Touch her health. Touch her diabetes. Give him strength. We can pray with an effect and having an effect on people.
Yes, sir.
But we don't want to take the time.
Come on.
Because our like passions have overthrown most of us. We doing okay?
Yes, sir.
These passions have now taken control of us. So we don't want to take the time. We don't want to take the energy. We don't want to take what it takes to touch heaven on behalf of others. So this is what we do instead. And I'm pretty honest about things. So just if you don't like honesty, then you're probably not going to like me. We have prayer meetings so that everybody can gossip about the things they're not praying for themselves. And so we take requests all around the building, and people call the pastor. Pastor, pray for such and such and so and so and such and such. And these little needs in their lives that we're trying to touch heaven on behalf of people. And by the way, most of those little things in our life, they make the request because they've never prayed themselves. Brother, would you go visit my family? Well, have you visited your family? Would you pray for my son? Have you prayed for your son? Pastor, they palm the obligation, and bear with me now. We bear one another's burdens. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about this. But have we prayed? Put the obligation on others. It'd be a shame for me to say, brother, our church is praying for you. But in my heart, I'm going, but I'm not. The church is praying, but not me. I brought it up at prayer meeting last night, and so the whole church is praying for you. But have you prayed?
Good.
Barry, I don't get upset. I didn't see Elijah give him about 20 prayer requests at prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. But I did see Elijah praying. And listen, I'm not being mean about it. I thank the Lord for prayer meeting. I thank the Lord for my times my name's been brought up in prayer meeting. My wife's name has been brought up in prayer meeting. Thank the Lord for the names you do bring up in prayer meeting. But you had better make sure that you have taken time to pray.
Yes, sir.
Having an effect. The reason behind the prayer. The desire behind the prayer. What the outcome we're asking God for in the prayer. According to His will and according to His purpose. Secondly, the effectual and fervent prayer. When have you prayed with fervency? I don't use a lot of other people as illustrations. I use myself because I know myself. And stories over the years tend to get twisted. But I did read in Brainerd's book, David Brainerd would go out in the snow. And I've heard the stories, and you've heard the stories. Whether it's true or not, most likely it probably was, but they said he would pray out there in the snow and beg God for the lives of those American Indians. And he'd be out in the wilderness and the snow would literally melt around him where he was praying with a fervency. As a young Christian, I remember somebody telling that story and then later on reading it in David Brainerd's book and me thinking to myself, well, I've never prayed like that. I never had to wipe sweat off my brow praying. I never had to dry off, had to go get cleaned up after I prayed. I thought, what a silly thing. Then one day, something real dear to my heart came up. Something heartbreaking into my life came. God began to show me what it's like to pray fervently.
Yes, sir.
With a fever, with a fervency, heated prayer. Ladies, I'm talking about you too. Prayer that touches heaven because the desire is a burning in your soul. It's a burning in your heart. It's a burning you can't let go of because you know the sincerity and the severity of the need that we present to God. Our prayer lists are filled with hundreds of names of people that are sick. Don't get upset with me. That don't come to church. Won't come to church, or got mad and left church. And then at the very bottom is a few names of people we pray for salvation. And the reality is from the top of the prayer list to the bottom, the reality is most probably need salvation. But we don't pray with fervency. October meeting is here. Have we taken time to pray with fervency? It's not that this evangelist needs just that extra oomph, that extra little kick, that little bit of excitement, that little bit of zeal. It's not that that's what we stand in need of. What we stand in need of is that God, to use the word of God in the services, to prick the hearts of the men and women sitting in the house of God, and to prick our cold, dead hearts, and to stir life within us, and the fervency to rise up in us, and we pray and know that God is hearing and answering prayer. Don't be discouraged. Get one another to pray for you. Ask for prayer. Please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Just make sure you've prayed.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Things go through on the prayer chain. They go through so fast sometimes on the prayer chains. And we're members of a couple prayer chains. And one of my mom calls things from her church. And of course, our pastor and his wife will send out something through the prayer chain. And Miss Ruth Ann will send something over the prayer chain. And sometimes things go so fast through the prayer chain, the people that get to us. And I go, has anybody bothered to pray? It's 9:04. Yes, at 9:03, Brother So-and-so had a serious accident. He may lose his leg. Please pray. It's a minute after the accident. Have we prayed? Or have we just sat out? Unless I'm not being critical, please, please keep sending prayer requests. Please ask to pray for one another. But more than anything else this morning, as impressed so dear on my heart this morning, is plead with the church and beg the church to pray.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. If we don't, we failed. If we don't, it shows our lack of concern, I'll be honest.
Yes, sir, it does.
Lord, you know, help us in school, help us this day, you know, help Puppy and Kitty, save the children, in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, the tepidness, the shallowness, the awfulness.
That's right.
Of no prayer. I think we get caught up a lot of times in repetition when we want to, and we're creatures of habit, that's part of our like passions. Is that we have to step outside of our repetition. We have to step outside of that box of prayer. And we have to learn to pray fervently to have an effect. The specifics of why we pray. And I think it's been taught so often. Listen, if you don't have time to pray, just say a quick prayer. I think we've been taught that so much that becomes the focus of what we do now.
Right.
We just say that quick prayer. With no details, no thought, no. We said, Lord, you know, you understand the situation, but the Lord wants us to pray fervently, and he wants us to pray with an effect. Some of you prayed for my stepfather in these last couple of weeks. We asked for prayer for him. My mom thought he was having a stroke. He's had many health issues for the last 20 years, and my mom was very concerned, thought he had a stroke. We had people all over praying. I want to thank the Lord for that. I want to thank the Lord we have the avenue of prayer. I want to thank the Lord that we can touch heaven. But we got to pray ourselves. We have to lay this out before the Lord. There's needs in our lives. There's needs in the church's lives. There's needs in your pastor's wife's lives. There's need with Scott's life, with a hay, we go around and point. Every one of us in here, most of us, by the way, we've been close enough to the church, we know the needs of others in the church. We know how we need to pray. It's just, do we take time to pray? Have we put aside that moment of time to pray? I called a dear brother. Some of you know him, I'm not going to say who. It's been quite a few years ago, and I called him up about 10:30. His wife answered the phone. I said, is Brother so-and-so available? I said, Brother Tim. She said, Brother Tim, I'm sorry, he's still in prayer. You know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, well, what, he just went in at 10 o'clock, you know, 9:30? And then she said this. She said, he's been in there since 4. And I just said, okay, never mind. Click. He said, call me sometime. Come by and preach for me, Brother McVeigh. That's what he told me. Yeah, I'm really going to be a help to your church. I went through my little motions this morning, but man's in there for 6 hours, 6.5 hours praying for his people. When he did call me back, he said, Brother McVeigh, I prayed for you this morning. I said, well, I'm not even a Christian. Click. I said, Brother, I didn't pray for you. I'm sorry. Evangelist stopped me in the parking lot in Georgia one day. He said, hey, Brother McVeigh, it's good to see you. Brother, I pray for you every day. You know what I vowed? I said, Lord, help me to never have a day I don't remember to pray for Brother Darrell Weaver. I said, Lord, if that man's going to pray for me every day, may God help me to forget to pray for him one day. God help me. I said, Brother, I'm ashamed. I don't pray for you every day. But I told him, I looked him in his eyes, but I'm going to. Imagine we made that vow to everybody in here. I mean, a vow that you can keep. It's reasonable to keep that vow. I wouldn't dissuade anybody from making that vow. It's not that hard of a vow to make. If you could walk around the church and say, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you, I'll pray for you. Every single day, I will pray for you. And then pray with effect. Pray with fervency. And the Bible said, the effect shall fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How did Elias touch heaven that it rained not? It's righteous. And I don't mean self-righteous. And I don't mean impiety.
That's right.
But he came with the right motives. He came with the right attitude. He came with everything in line. His desire was that God would hear and answer prayer. It wasn't out of hypocrisy. It wasn't out of a show. You know, there's a ditch in every road. Two ditches at most. If some people run off in this ditch, some run off in this ditch. I've been at prayer meetings at church where they prayed an hour and a half. And I'd listen to people pray, and nobody prayed. I heard a lot of cotton. Heard a lot of sweet stuff, but nobody prayed. I came out to Brother Herbert Williamson, who's my pastor. He said, it's time to pray. So I said, look at me. I say, Brother Herbert, you pray. I get down and crawl up there, a lip over top of the altar. I get down and crawl up underneath that altar. Now, you may laugh at this. Part of it was for safety, because I didn't know what was going to come flying off the pulpit when he prayed. But the Herbert would take a hold of that pulpit, and he'd begin to pray. And I'm talking about that pulpit would be shaking, stuff would be flying, hymnals would be tumbling, the offering plates would be gone. And it wasn't a show of the flesh. This wasn't a man trying to prove a point to somebody. I've been in his home. I've been in hotel rooms with him. I was in a hotel in South Dakota. One night, I heard him in the bathroom praying at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the whole hotel was shaking. I thought, I hope there's nobody else staying here. And I had a hold of that sink in the bathroom. And I heard him praying, oh, God, would you save my boys? Oh, God, would you save my grandchildren? And now the whole hotel would shake. But I also knew this. When he called my name out in prayer, I'd bury my head as low as I could go. And oftentimes with tears, I'd thank the Lord I had a pastor that prayed for me.
Amen.
Stood between me and God, not as an intercessor, but as a prayer warrior. I didn't have to go through him to get to God. But he could point me to God. And he led me in the way I ought to go. And he taught me a little bit about prayer. A friend of mine told me a story, and I wouldn't want to toot his horn, I just want to give him honor. He's worthy of that, I believe. Came out to his property in western Tennessee, drove out there just to pray over his home and bless his new home in Tennessee. 14 and a half hours, one way. And he said he walked in there and he took a hold of those 2x4s where the frame was and began to pray. And he told me, he said, brother, he said, that man prayed over my home and blessed our home and asked God to do a work in our family and our lives. He said, I had to run up and hold the other side of the 2x4 because I thought he was going to break it in half praying. Now, some of you might mock that, but he prayed. Amen. And not only did God know he prayed, anybody around him knew he prayed.
Yes, sir.
And it wasn't because of the show of the flesh. It wasn't just because of the fervency. But because when he went in his closet and shut the door, the Lord that heard in secret rewarded him openly. And if you'll go in your closet and you'll shut the door and you'll pray with an effect. Now, people say, what is my closet? Let me just say this. It's a place where you can just get alone with God.
Amen.
You could have a treehouse. You could have a shed. You could have a basement. You could have a chair. But it's a place where you can go and get alone with God and pray. And pray with an effect. And pray with a fervency. Believing that God hears and answers prayer. Can I say this to you? If you've never tried it, why don't you just try it?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just prove the word of God?
Amen.
I will pray with fervor.
Amen.
A man just like Elijah. Can I say this, Zane? Do you believe that man that you stood up here with, do you believe he prays?
Yes.
Do you believe God hears him?
Amen.
Do you know, Zane, you can pray. God can hear you.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
If you'll pray. Randy, God will hear you if you'll pray.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
He can answer prayer. The hardest things we go through, doesn't matter who we are, we can pray.
Yes, thank you.
God can bring us through. But the key is this, he prayed. John.
Pastor Andrew, you picked the song. Thank you, Brother McVeigh. I don't want to drag this out an awful lot, but I want to say this. Miss Tiffany had come to this church now quite a while. And then when she moved back to Utah, gone through an awful lot of hard stuff. And it was a happy thing to me when Kyle Beal came into her life. It was a happy thing to me. I've longed for a long time for Tiffany to have a man. I don't mean a male, I mean a man.
Yes.
I think most of you understand the difference.
Yes.
I came to the conclusion Kyle Beal was a man and he loved her. Kyle got a promotion working for Old Navy. Big one. Get the store in Greece, New York, get to take it. Huge thing. Going to take him up there. I talked to Brother Paul Scott, said I need to find a church there, desperate, tender. He found one for me.
Amen.
Okay? But I've been praying and just saying, Lord, please. I'm just so unsettled with them leaving. Talked to Kyle this morning. You know what Kyle said? He said, this has been a powerful week, Pastor. Powerful week. I said, what do you mean, Kyle? And he said, I found that verse in Matthew 6. It says, you can't have two masters, God and mammon. I've called the church in Greece, or the store in Greece. He said, I'm not going to be your man here. God wants to stay right here. Less of a salary, less of everything, but he's a man and he's taken over a family.
Yeah.
Okay? You pray for Kyle Beal.
Yeah.
Pray for Miss Tiffany. You pray for the these sweet little children, Lily, for Seth. We
That's
pray
right.
for them.
Yes,
okay?
Sir. Yes, sir.
God bless. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother.
God.